Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Professor Jordan Tama, author of the IBM Center report, Maximizing the Value of Quadrennial Strategic Planning. So, Jordan, the next case study you analyze or present is on the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, the QHSR. When and why did Congress mandate this?
Congress mandated the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review in 2007. It was actually part of one of the major laws that Congress passed to implement recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. Oh, yeah. Interestingly, there was a 9/11 Commission Implementation Act that was enacted in 2007. This was all part of trying to generally improve Homeland Security. The Homeland Security Department was only created in the aftermath of 9/11. It was created by a law passed in 2002, so it's a very new department. The main purpose of creating the Homeland Security Department was to promote more integration and coordination of Homeland Security efforts in the U.S. government, because prior to that, there were a lot of agencies that did things related to Homeland Security, but this was all very fragmented. And then so as part of that, the 9/11 Commission also thought it would be helpful to have a strategic planning exercise to help coordinate things in the department. And Congress, in particular, thought that requiring a quadrennial Homeland Security Review would lead to more integration, because there was a problem in DHS, which really continues to this day, of the department being highly fragmented.
And how have they been carried out? Could you tell us a little bit more about the process that was engaged over the last 9 years, how things have changed? How did they build? Did the department build a capacity to actually create the QHSR?
Yeah. So the first QHSR was conducted without that much strategic assessment or kind of strategic analysis. And this was really a function of limited capacity of the department. So the department at that point, and this was 2009, 2010, first 2 years of the Obama administration, that was when the first QHSR was carried out. DHS at that time did not have a lot of capacity to analyze what the strategic environment facing Homeland Security, you know, would be over the next 5, 10, 15 years. Didn't have the capacity to do what's, you know, called risk analysis or risk assessment. Said, what are the risks to Homeland Security? So instead, the first QHSR was really much more just about identifying what are the missions of the department. It had less of an analytical component and was focused around just trying to reach some basic agreement on what are core missions of DHS. The second QHSR was different because in the intervening years, DHS actually developed more analytical capacity. So in the Office of Policy and Strategy that carries it out, they have hired more personnel and also integrated different offices so that now they have in-house the ability to conduct long-range analysis. And so the second QHSR began with a major risk analysis exercise where they actually considered future scenarios and what risks would be presented to DHS potentially, and then tried to use that to inform the report that they put out.
So in the last segment, we talked about the Quadrennial Defense Review. How has it informed the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review? How are they similar? How are they different?
So the Quadrennial Defense Review has informed the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review a lot. It's not the only way, but in other ways also, DHS has modeled some of its analytical work on DOD, mainly because DOD is viewed as a department that does this relatively well. They have a sound, strong culture and tradition of doing strategic planning in rigorous ways. And so there has been actually a lot of learning that's gone on across the departments. And so part of this is reflected in the quadrennial reviews. DHS has started to do long-term assessment, risk analysis in the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review in a way that's, I think, quite self-consciously modeled on the QDR.
And so, you know, you mentioned earlier that the principal value of the Homeland Security Review, the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, to date has been to advance integration, yeah. To make literally the reality of a one DHS that a reality. Can you elaborate on some of the key outcomes of the last two reviews?
Sure. So the first review, the key outcome was to identify five core missions for the department, which sounds very basic, but there was really no common sense in DHS of what the missions were. I think when most people, probably most people outside DHS, think of DHS, the first thing they think about is terrorism, preventing terrorism, would probably assume that that's the mission of DHS. But if you look at DHS, which brought 18 different agencies together, those agencies are doing lots of other things. So there was this basic question, well, okay, so what's our mission if we're not, you know, really about preventing terrorism? So by looking at what all these different agencies did, they came up with a set of five core missions which capture well the vast majority of things that are being done throughout the department. So it's preventing terrorism, that's one mission, but also securing and managing borders, enforcing and administering immigration laws, safeguarding and securing cyberspace, and ensuring resilience to disasters. So the QHSR expressed that these are the five missions, and then they actually articulated some goals and objectives within each of those missions. So this was still pretty broad. Some of the goals and objectives were a little bit more specific than them, but that was the basic idea. And people I spoke to throughout DHS generally agree that these missions are now widely accepted. And people are aware of them. If you ask people, you know, what the mission of DHS is, they might not be able to recite exactly what those five missions are, but they would know that there have been, you know, five missions that have been, articulated, and this sort of is, a basic common knowledge. So that was a main achievement. The other thing it's done is some more concrete management reform. So I'll give an example of one concrete step that came out of the QHSR. The department's accounting had been very fragmented. So you had different agencies' budgets being processed in a fragmented way. And to integrate the department as part of the QHSR process, they created a new accounting system where instead of just having the budgets of each component of the agency treated separately, they integrate them so that senior officials can see, okay, how much are we spending on preventing terrorism across all the components? How much are we spending on securing and managing borders across all of the components, and then even within, you know, smaller goals and objectives? So that's all designed to try to integrate the department.
Mm-hmm. So, you point out a couple of things, and I'd like to kind of pull together my last two questions on the Homeland Security Review, and that is, what were some of the shortcomings? And, given your research, what is your assessment of the QHSR?
So there are a couple of shortcomings that have been identified actually by the General Accountability Office. So GAO has reviewed some of these reviews actually, and what they assessed from the first and second QHSRs were that the engagement with external stakeholders was not as meaningful as it could be. So generally, one of the values of doing these quadrennial reviews is that it provides a mechanism through which you can engage with external stakeholders. DHS is very reliant on external stakeholders. State and local agencies tremendously reliant on them to do things related to preventing terrorism, working with police, local police forces, for instance. But also private sector, if you think of an area like cyberspace, where, you know, DHS has a lot of responsibility now for cyber issues domestically, but most of that is, you know, in the private sector. Most of, you know, America's cyber activities are not in the government, they're in the private sector. So DHS really needs to engage thoroughly with external stakeholders to do strategic planning well. And what GAO assessed was that it had engaged with these stakeholders, but it was more to sort of try to get their validation of what they had already decided. So, you know, they had developed a draft report and then they, you know, send it to the stakeholders and get their feedback rather than actually getting their input earlier in the process. And so that's an area where I think DHS can still improve. And I think also they still can improve in connecting the quadrennial review more closely to operational guidance. So I think for good reason, they focused their quadrennial review really on generating this broad agreement on what the overall missions of the department are. But now they need to go to the next step and make it more operationally useful. Yeah.
Why did the U.S. Department of State start doing the Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Review? And what lessons can be learned for all federal departments as they develop their strategic plans? We'll explore these questions and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.